Right, open your Bibles to the book of Jude. Right before Revelation. Second to last book of the Bible. All right, Jude. And I want to read verse 1. I would encourage you over the next few weeks, read through the book of Jude, maybe just once a week. Just read through the book of Jude. It'll take you all of maximum of 10 minutes probably, but read through the book of Jude and become familiar with the book as a whole. We're going to preach from the book and about the book and around the book over the next few weeks. And Jude, verse 1 says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I'm going to read just a little bit down further. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he says, I sat down. Jude takes this book. He says, I sat down. I have a purpose in this book. And really, overall, the first three verses, Jude has a nice opening, doesn't he? And if you read the last few verses, he's got a kind of a nice ending. And in between the two, he gets after it. I mean, he is letting be known there are problems arising. And in between, he fires away at those who would turn the church into apostasy and wickedness. And he's reminding the Christians that they are just steps away from Lucifer and Cain and Sodom and Korah and Balaam and the ungodliness of the wilderness Israelites. And he brings all of that in between verse 3 and then between verse 3 and verse 20. And he puts all of that and references all of that and says, look, this church is in danger of apostasy, as he writes. The people that he's writing to, he says, boy, it would be nice to focus on the blessings of salvation. It would be nice to focus on the rewards of Christ. It would be nice to look on just the common salvation and talk about that. And there's a place for that, and we need to be preaching salvation. And when we finish with dealing with our inner self, we're going to work a little bit differently on Sunday mornings and get another couple of salvation messages in there. Although this morning you had plenty of that in there as well as we dealt with unforgiveness. But Jude, he gives here, and I want to look at this thought tonight. How are you introduced? How are you introduced? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. That's what we get from the introduction that's there. And I want to look at that, and I want us to think practically. And Jude, we'll try to see who Jude was. But let's pray. We'll look at the message tonight. Father, I ask you would help us. God, every single one of us have a reputation. That reputation varies from place to place by how people view us. Ultimately, God, we want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a great multitude of thought that is spoken in those very words. And God, I pray that you would help us to see that tonight. And see what is entailed in being a servant of Christ and the perspective from which Jude begins the book as he introduces himself. And God, I pray that you would help us and guide us, apply this to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, there are apostles who were brothers named James and Judas. If you look at Luke chapter 6, and there are two options here of who Jude was. And I don't think we're going to be able to settle it exactly because you look at half of the commentaries, they say this, and the other half say the other thing, and it's hard to get to the very bottom of it. But here's a possibility. Luke chapter 6, verse 13 through 16, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother." Then you got James and John. Those were the sons of Zebedee. Philip and Bartholomew. You've got Matthew and Thomas. And then you have James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. So here's the possibility. It could be Jude, being Judas, the brother of James, the son of Alphaeus, that we have listed here as an apostle. That's quite a possibility, simply because it was mostly apostles that wrote the New Testament, with the exception possibly of Luke, being who wrote the book of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, who was a doctor, who was not one of the 12 in particular, but most others are apostles. And then the Apostle Paul, of course, being an apostle out of time there a little bit. So that's a possibility. The other is Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And here it says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So you've got, it's a possibility also that he was a brother of Jesus Christ. Now, we do know this. While the disciples were following Jesus, some of the brothers of Jesus were not yet following him, but it is indicated that they later on became followers of him. So we have here these couple of options, and I wish I could say exactly this is it, but I read and I come down equal parts this and equal parts that. I tend to lean toward the apostle, but that's just a leaning. I have nothing else to go on. So who was Jude? Ultimately, Jude's saying it doesn't matter who I am. Whether he is the apostle, whether he's the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude is not claiming status. Jude is not claiming that, you know, you should listen to me because I am and I have this behind me. It was recognized, I'm sure, in the day when they wrote it, which James he was talking about. Was it James, the son of Alphaeus? I believe it was James, the brother of John, that was beheaded early on. That James is definitely not the one, because that his brother was John. But he just says, "I am the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. I'm writing to you." Jude is referenced by the historian, this is a hard word to say, Hegesippus, maybe, as having two grandchildren living in the time of the Emperor Domitian. The Syrian church claimed Jude as their apostle, so it's possibly he traveled up into Syria and preached there. He is known to have preached in Arabia, Mesopotamia, and Persia, and is said to have suffered martyrdom being pierced with arrows. And that would be, of course, if he is the Apostle Jude, that's the history that goes along with that. And that's kind of where I would lean on that. Jude introduces himself as a servant. I want to read some verses because this is a common thing that takes place. You don't have to turn to each of these. I have them written out. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's his introduction. He says, "I'm a servant of Jesus Christ." Now, I am called to be an apostle. My life has been separated for a purpose, that purpose being the gospel of God. Romans 16:1, the Apostle Paul introduces a lady. He says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Synechria." Philippians 2:7, the Lord Jesus Christ, look at his introduction, "but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." You know, you think about Jesus Christ being a servant. We could be one. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is introduced, who is one of you. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He says, Epaphras, he was a member of the church of Colossae, and now he's over here working with the Apostle Paul. He says, man, when that guy prays, he prays for y'all. But he's a servant of Christ. James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And again, is James is another one. Is it James the brother of Christ, or is it James the apostle? James the son of Alphaeus. And those are hard to figure out exactly. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. This common theme that's coming through there as they look at it is, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And apostle after apostle after apostle is just laying out saying, I just want to serve Jesus. If I could just be a servant of Christ, that's how I want to be known. That's my introduction. That's who I am. And Jude, he is not claiming, I'm the Pope. He is not claiming, I have some hierarchical authority. He says, look, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Revelation 15:3 said, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. But he references Moses, the servant of God. Moses, one of the first people in the Bible that's called the servant of God. And so we grasp this and we take this and we understand that it is a great thing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great thing to be introduced as just call me a servant of Christ. Now, we live in a society, you know, Jesus, he went through and he said, you know, no man call you father. For one is your father which is in heaven. It's not talking about dad. Okay, I mean, you can call your dad father. That's your actual father. But he's talking in the spiritual realm. And you have the Catholic Church where people are walking up and saying, Father so-and-so and Father so-and-so. Jesus also made the statement in the Gospels. He says, call no man master. And Jesus Christ is your master. And, you know, you think about all of the degrees that go behind people's names. And I am for education. But I'm not for education just so you can have letters behind your name that tout you as being somebody. And I'm definitely not for education when you're going to an institution that is going to corrupt your very moral fiber being so that you can get those letters behind your name. And, you know, one thing that's going on, I see people, I got my doctorate at... And, you know, it doesn't matter where it's at. Bob Jones University or Dallas Theological Seminary, or, you know, all of these places that can give doctorates. But the thing is, it's like, there ain't one of them that stands on the King James Bible. And so when you look at that, it's like, okay, you're going to get a doctorate from an institution that can't even figure out what the Word of God is. I don't want it. And it's not that we don't want education. It's not that we don't. It's just like this. Are you going to send your 18-year-old into a public university to be taught the wickedness of the world? Well, you better think twice about what they're going to get educated in and whether they're going to be able to stand for truth, because so many of them go in and come out corrupted. Hey, it happens in Christian institutions as well. And, you know, some of these places, they deny the virgin birth. They deny the miracles of the Bible. Oh, these are just stories or stories that have been enlarged or bigger than life story. No, they're true happenings of the Word of God. You know, God really did part the Red Sea. He really did cause the sun to stand still. God really did do those miracles. God really did create the world. God spoke it into existence. Day one is day one. It's not eons of time. You know, all of these things, but when you go into a place to get a doctorate and here you are and they're questioning the very truths of the Word of God, you know, I can look at what Jude would have to say about that. Forget the DR behind your name. Forget the master so-and-so behind your name. And just be a servant of Jesus Christ. Just know the book. Being a servant, I've got a few points here with it. Being a servant is not about reputation with men. The very word servant puts you down on a lowly level, not a higher level. Ephesians 6:6. You can turn to these verses. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Makes this statement. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Being a servant is not about reputation with man. It's about what does God see? You know, we're not going around bragging about who read their Bible the most or who prayed the most or what time they got up in the morning so that they could spend 3 hours in prayer and so on and so forth. You know what? God is not going to be impressed with any of us. But boy, we should be impressed with Him. And ultimately, it is not about what Brother Reed thinks of you. It's not about what Brother Bradshaw thinks about you. It's not about what Brother Schrock thinks about you. It's not about what I think about you. It's like, what is your life before the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you serving Him? But if we're not careful, we can get off and say, well, I only want to be involved in something that's visible to people. How about all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes? How about all the stuff that gets done that nobody knows anything about? Why don't you just be a servant of Jesus Christ? Galatians 1:10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul also introduced himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he makes this statement. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now you think about that. Our churches in our society today are full of people trying to please men in order just simply to get bigger crowds of people. What happens? It becomes finance orientated, it becomes people orientated, it becomes everything else orientated. And the Apostle Paul said, look, if I'm just going about to please you, then I'm no longer a servant of Christ. We have shifted from becoming a servant of Christ to becoming a servant of the person you're trying to impress. And if you are out there trying to impress someone, you have become their servant rather than the servant of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter to the church of Galatia, it is a scolding. It's a rebuke. And he says, I could be really kind and I could be really nice and I could be really sweet to y'all, but the truth is you're trying to have works to keep your salvation. And that's dead wrong. And you got Jewish people coming in saying you have to keep the law in order to be saved, and that's heresy. And I have to call it out. And I'm going to call it out I may not be popular with you. In fact, I think it's in Galatians that he says, am I your enemy because I speak to you the truth? Romans 14:4. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Interesting verse. Romans chapter 14. And verse 4. It says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And so he looks at us and says, who are you a servant of? Christ. And God is saying, okay, if that's my servant, it matters what I think about him. It doesn't matter how much or so much what you think about him. Because you know what? God knows everything that goes on every day of our lives. It's not hard to impress people on a Sunday, is it? But God knows what you did all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God knows what you thought about. And he says, so ultimately, who's going to judge the servant? The master will judge the servant. Now, I don't say that to say, well, my reputation doesn't matter, because the Bible also says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. But there is the balance. We ought to want to have a good name, but we ought to want to have that good name for his sake, not for our sake. It's not about us. And there's times where people will put an X through your name because you stood for something right for the Lord. Oh, I don't want anything to do with that. Why? You know, I love good men that stand for the Lord. They're an encouragement to me. I'm blessed when I see people standing for the Lord and I don't see them for 20 years and I come back and see them and they're still standing for the Lord. That encourages my heart. And you know what? They weren't standing for the Lord for me. They're just a servant of God. And time and time and time and time again, someone told me he was invited to go with two different big name preachers. If I named them, you would know them, or at least one of them. He says, I was invited to go on a big hunting trip with this preacher and this preacher. And he said, I declined to go because they would go out on their hunting trip and they wouldn't go to church. He said, well, we're preachers. We'll just get together and have a little church among ourselves. Now, if the church went on the trip, then the church is there. That's not the case. He says, you know what? He says, I lost some friends. And you know what? He's not a servant of those two big name preachers. He's a servant of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to me to hear of someone that will still take a stand for the Lord and still say, you know what? It's church day. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to make the effort to be there. And if I am on vacation, I'm going to make an effort to be there. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, but ultimately it comes down to, am I a servant of Jesus Christ? And being a servant is not about reputation with men. It's about your reputation with God. Secondly, being a servant of the Lord is a position of choice. It is a position of choice. Go to 1 Corinthians 9:19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Here the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, he says, for though I be free from all men yet have I made myself servant unto all. The Apostle Paul is looking at this whole situation. He says, look, in this church of Corinth, he says, I don't owe anybody anything. He said, I just want to be a servant. And so I have chosen to make myself a servant of people. Hey, you need some help with this? Well, yeah, I can help you. Boy, can I take care of this over here? Can I do this? Can I accomplish this? You want to know somebody who's a servant? He'll be mad at me, but that guy right there, that's a servant. And you could say, well, he was paid. Well, he's not anymore. And you still find him around. Sometimes probably a little too much. Hey, you know, I'm not complaining. Go. But at the same time, you know what? It's like, I don't know what to do. I'm retired. But serve. And it's not a matter of I have to. I want to. Go to Romans 6:13. 6:13. This passage demonstrates the yielding to one side or the other. The Bible says in 13, we're going to read on down through, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as though those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. And he goes on, and it's yielding or yielding. You are servants of righteousness, or you are servants of sin. And by the way, you get involved in sin, it will make you a slave. Sin makes a slave out of you. Ask the drug addict that says, I wish I didn't have to do this. So, well, you could just stop. It's not that easy. Ask the drunkard who says, I wish I don't ever want to take a drink again. And the next night, what are they doing? Why? Because sin makes you a servant. And when you yield yourself to that, it is a cruel taskmaster. But if you'll yield yourself to Jesus Christ, and it's choice. Nobody can make you do anything other than your parents, if you're still of that age. They can make you do something. It is a matter of, I want to yield to God. Chapter 7, verse 6 says this, but now we are delivered from the law and being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. There's two spirits. One is the law. You know what the law does? The law beats you and beats you and beats you and says you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough, you're not good enough. Now, do we need that? Boy, we needed that to bring us to Christ. It is the law that told us that we were not good enough and that we were on our way to hell. We needed that. But now the ability to take all of that that God wants us to do that we learn from the law and say, I want to do that. What? I want to give my Sunday to the Lord. I want to talk right. I want to dress right. I want to listen to the right kind of music. I want to do right. I want to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get into a spirit of I have to do this or I have to do that. No, you don't. You heard me a whole bunch of times. You know what? If you want to give, give. And, you know, that's what God wants. It is not about, I have to do this. If you've got a spirit that says, oh, I have to do this. If you've got a spirit that says, well, I have, well, it's Sunday morning. If I don't show up, people are going to think this. You're not a servant of Christ. And you're not serving out of the newness of the Spirit. You've actually made yourself a servant of what men think of you. Now, I would still recommend come to church and get your spirit right. This is the place you need to be in order to let the Word of God affect change in your life. And I understand not every Sunday of every week of the year does everybody feel like jumping up out of bed. I get to go to church today. There are probably days where you come and you don't feel like it, but you're sure glad you did after you came. And there's times when you go out to knock on some doors on a Saturday. And I'll be the first to confess, not every Saturday do I feel like going out knocking on doors. But by the time I'm done, it sure is great to be able to say, you know what? I'm sure glad that I actually went, and it was a blessing to serve the Lord. It is a choice. Galatians 4:7 says this, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, and the whole attitude changes. It's not God saying, you're a bond slave. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. It's you're a servant by choice, but you're a son. God made you and took you from a servant to being a son and an heir. And you please him. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And there are places to serve. And there are all kinds of areas of service that are not prized places. Nursery always needs servants. What was it the man called it? Purgatory. If only people would teach their children to behave, it wouldn't be purgatory, right? Yeah. Yeah, those 6 month olds, get them in line. You know, but what is it? You know what? It is a service to the Lord so that parents can be in the service and hear the Word of God. And you are really, you're taking their place. But you, one person or two people are taking the place of multiple people so they can be in here, and we try to have a rotation because we don't want everybody out all the time. But it's a place of service. You think of the bus. Get up earlier, stay out later. Come in earlier on Wednesday, stay out later. Get on that bus. You want to talk about misbehaved children. Well, what is it? You've got children, young people, who are out there in homes. And I'll go to a door on a Wednesday night. Why are you going on Wednesday night? Well, if there was another worker on Wednesday night, I might not have to. But it's hard for Timothy to run the door and run the program and run the door. And I learned that real well when he was gone to Alaska, wherever he is. Hall monitor. And you run into the door and I'm singing half a song and run the door and come back. Did you finish it without me? Yeah, we did. You know, and you look at it, and it's like you go to the door and you open it, and the heavy, heavy, heavy smell of marijuana comes rolling out the door and hitting you in the face. It's like until I moved to Ottumwa, I had no idea what it smelled like. And you think that child does not have parents that care one bit about whether that child goes to heaven or hell. Now, if you ask the parent, would you want your child to go to heaven or hell? Oh, I'd want my child to go to heaven. But they are doing nothing toward that purpose. They don't have parents that sit down with the Word of God and open it and read it to them. They don't have parents that tell them Bible stories in the home. They go to a school where it's forbidden to have the Ten Commandments, but the gay pride hangs in the classroom. And you know what? It takes servants to bring them in. And it's not about serving the children. If it's about serving the children, you're going to last about 2 weeks. And you're going to say, But if you can get it, I want to do this to bring this child, to introduce him to my Savior. If we can keep the heart, the spirit, right. And you know what? It is a choice. Where we get into trouble is when we start looking and say, well, yeah, I got to do it because no one else will. Well, Jesus came and died. No one else could. And Jesus made himself a servant. And you can look at cleaning, maintenance, witnessing, choir, whatever the service may be. By the way, you know, people see the choir up here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know, there's this hour and 10 minutes of service before the song ever gets presented to you every Sunday. It ought to be our goal to increase in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. But ultimately, it's about having a heart out of love for Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I serve not in the oldness of the letter of the law, but in newness of the Spirit. I'm a son of God. And I want to serve Him. Thirdly, being a servant requires faithfulness. Go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. You know, Jude, as he's writing this book, he says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, if he wasn't a servant of Jesus Christ, I would care not to read the book. Hebrews 3:5 makes this statement, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a what? Servant. You know what Moses put up with? We don't have any food to eat. We don't have any water to drink. Why'd you bring us out here in the wilderness to let us die in the wilderness? Oh, I wish we could go back to Egypt and eat with the leeks. Love them onions. Maybe onion rings. We'll take onion rings, right? Garlic. Yeah, can I have some honey to go with that? And they're just on and on and on and on. And Moses at times was saying, God, your people. And God's saying, Moses, your people. And you know what? Moses was faithful. He was faithful. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 through 23. Matthew 25, 21 through 23. Says this, his Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and what? faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a what? Few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, participation starts. Take Jude, for instance. If Jude is not a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you care for the message? And, you know, somebody might say, I want to be a Sunday school teacher and I want to teach children. How about coming to church Sunday night? Because we got children in church Sunday night. And let me ask you something. Do you think these children that come to church on Sunday school, they're here Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they're here Wednesday night, and these children, do you think that they need to be looking around saying, on Sunday night, saying, where's my Sunday school teacher? Well, they don't come Sunday night. Well, I'm here Sunday night. Why is the one teaching me not here Sunday night? What's that about? Is that what we're going to do? Is that faithfulness? Because aren't we supposed to teach these children to be faithful? You know, if I come in and we get an evangelist in, and I found out that the evangelist only goes to church when he has meetings, you know, I don't want to hear him preach. See, there needs to be faithfulness. And so we take areas, and Jesus, he says, okay, I'm going to give you a little, and I'm going to check it. How'd you do? It may be an area of cleaning. Maybe in some other area. Look at it and say, okay, oh, yeah, you know what? You took that, you did a good job on that project. Okay, let's move you up to here. You know, you're turning your life around and, you know, everything's shaped up and, you know, you're looking at the Bible and you got your hair cut and you're dressing right and you're, you know, doing things right. Hi, you're becoming more and more of an example. And then, you know what? As a person lives for God, you want to come and you say, hey, you know, I can learn something from this person. I want to sit in that lesson that teacher's teaching. I want to hear that person teach me something in King's Kids. Let me just say, as an authority in your own home, your faithfulness, the message that you say to your children, what you speak is either hindered or magnified by your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is important. Being a servant requires faithfulness. You know, I have no desire ever to send someone into the ministry if they didn't serve in their local church first. And it starts here. And then lastly, and I'll be quick, being a servant has reward. You know, Psalm 100 and verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. You know, God does not want people serving him. I wish I didn't have to do this, but I'll have to do it. God says, don't come into my presence. He wants us to come into his presence with a happy heart, a merry heart, a glad heart, with thankfulness, and doing what we do for him. And if we can't come into his presence like that, God doesn't want us in his presence. Now, granted, and we're not talking about those times where we're hurting and we're calling out to Jesus Christ for help. We're talking about service. Colossians 3:24 says this, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know, in Matthew 25 there too, there's reward for service. There is reward for service. And, you know, how many of you just voluntarily go to work without a paycheck? The boss says, I'm not paying you this week. Hey, I just want to serve anyway. You know, now, the difference is this. God also doesn't ask us to serve without reward. He rewards. We just don't know what the paycheck is. We don't know what the reward is on the other side. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, service out of love is greater than service for a paycheck any day. You know, my wife puts up with me. Puts up with, yeah, that's the key. You know, I couldn't pay someone to do what she does. There wouldn't be enough money. Somebody'd say, 1 year, million minimum. And she does it just for grocery money every week. It's the heart behind it. And if we love Jesus Christ, so Jude, he starts out his epistle. And I'm setting this because Jude has something to write. But Jude says, it's not because I'm the brother of Christ, or it's not because I'm this important apostle. He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, just like you're a servant of Jesus Christ. I've served, and I have a message as a servant. I have a message from God for you. This is my introduction. Here's the message. Paul did it, Peter did it, James did it. It was important to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And the message bears weight because Jude himself is not serving men. You read the book. He calls it out. He's not writing this trying to get brownie points. He's not writing this so he gets invited to the next conference. There are a whole bunch of churches going to read this letter saying, we haven't Jude come in and preach. He says, I'm not your servant, I'm his. Now, I'll serve you, but I'm serving him, because if I serve you, I'd quit. But I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And so I write this letter. I sit down to pen this letter, the word of God, the word that God has given me to pen. I'm just his servant. It's his word. And so you may look at it and say it this way. Don't take the message out on the messenger. I'm just the messenger. The message is from him. And I'm just his servant. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes there's a message to be delivered. It's not the easiest message to deliver. When you go out and knock on somebody's door and say, you know what, I just here to tell you you're a sinner. And we don't usually start that way. But that's what we're there for. Is tell them they're a sinner. Because unless they get the fact that they're a sinner, they're not going to need the Savior. And we kind of work backwards. But ultimately, that's where we have to get. So Jude is a servant. Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to just take this tonight and realize that we need to be servants of you, not of men. That we have a choice, and we should serve you out of newness of the letter, newness of the spirit rather than oldness of the letter. God, help us to be faithful in our service. And God, help us to understand we should do it with gladness. There's a reward for it. But even if there was no reward, you served us first. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. As the piano plays, has God spoken to your heart tonight? Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? A servant submits to the master. Just a servant. Does the master say, hey, you need to change this? Say, yes, master, I'm just a servant. I'm convinced if we would meditate on what Jesus Christ did for us, actually meditate on it, it would be so easy to serve Him. Father, we're thankful tonight that you came as a servant for us. God, I pray that we would think about that throughout the week. God, I pray that you would help us to consider that we can serve you. God, just reveal to us the areas that we can and how we can be better servants. God, as we serve you, God, help us not to worry about what man thinks. God, help us to just do it out of love for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.